I certainly appreciate the fervent prayer that has been offered. Pleasant Plains is blessed with good preachers. They have a good pastor, Brother Michael, and Brother Gary was with us last Sunday night and brought us a wonderful message, I thought. And also Brother Stephen Dyer. And Pleasant Plains has been blessed in that way, and appreciate them visiting with us on a regular basis. It's truly a blessing. And Pleasant, or Bay Springs will be having their annual meeting coming up next weekend. I hope we'll all support that by our prayers and by our attendance. This morning at Oak Grove, I endeavored to preach some from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where we have a prayer recorded for us that King Jehoshaphat prayed on behalf of the nation of Israel. Israel and the king were facing a great enemy, a great army, and they were no match for them. And the king recognized that, and so he went to God in prayer. And that prayer begins in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 5. And really, beloved, I think the prayer is a good model for all of us to follow as we face a lot of the problems and difficulties that we are confronted with in this life. There are a number of parts of this prayer that I think speak volumes to all of us. First of all, he, in praying, acknowledged that he's praying to a God of all power. Would you want to pray to a God that doesn't have much power? No. He acknowledges that he's praying to the God of heaven and earth. And when you and I are praying, we need to remember that we are praying to a God who is able. Amen. Not unable, disabled, half-abled. He is able. Amen. To do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we can think of or ask for. See, when you get that in your mind, it kind of helps you in your prayers. And then he tells God, you are our God, and we are your people. We are the sons and daughters of Abraham, your friend. In other words, Father, I'm praying for your people, your children. And I want to tell you, if you're blessed to have the sweet hope that you're a child of God, that is invaluable. How many of y'all tonight really feel like you're one of God's children? And when you're praying to your heavenly Father. And then he acknowledges their enemy. If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. And cry unto thee in our affliction when thou wilt hear and help. We need to acknowledge that we have enemies. It could be financial, it could be physical, it could be disease like cancer, heart trouble. A lot of problems can confront God's children in this life. The loss of a job. Whatever it is, you acknowledge that you have this problem. And a lot of these things are enemies to us. Satan attacks us through a lot of these things. We do have an enemy. And it's not our brothers and sisters in Christ. The devil is the enemy. And we need to acknowledge it. He has different ways of attacking us. And then he confesses we have no might. Verse 12, but our God, Will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. I really appreciate that on King Jehoshaphat's part. He acknowledges, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. We're not only weak, we're ignorant. We don't know what to do. Isn't that a wonderful attitude for a child of God to have when you're praying to God? Just confess your weakness and your ignorance. But then he says, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Don't you love that? Our eyes are upon thee. So they faced the enemy. But now I want you to notice how they faced the enemy. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They're going to go into battle worshiping the Lord, not trusting in themselves, not trusting in their strength, not trusting in their cleverness, but they're going to go into battle worshiping the Lord. And then in verse 19, the Levites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I love that. They stood up to do what? To praise the Lord. And we just sung that song, praise him, praise him. That's what we're here tonight for. So they began to praise the Lord with a loud voice. And then Jehoshaphat says in verse 20, O Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord, your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And the way I understand this, Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, is going to send the singers out before the army. The singers are going to face the enemy. And what are the singers going to do? Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments around or against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. The praises of God's children actually destroyed the enemy. Are y'all following what I'm saying tonight? I want to tell you, when God's people are praising God from the heart, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord, it has a way of lifting us up and it drives the enemy away. I tell you one thing Satan hates. He hates it when God's children are singing. Singing the old hymns or singing spiritual songs or singing psalms. The devil is not sitting there saying amen till there is a fountain filled with blood. He is upset when you and I are singing Amazing Grace or How Sweet the Name of Jesus sounds or What a Friend we Have in Jesus or How Great Thou Art. Satan does not love those songs. But when you and I begin to sing them, you know what they do? They just lift us up and drives the enemy out. And that's exactly what happened. Beloved, when you're troubled, you need to come to church. You need to be with the saints. You need to worship. You need to sing if you can. And if you don't have a voice to sing, just pat your foot. You know, keep time with your hand. Just get involved in praising God. I just love this. And then, notice in verse 23, "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another." These allies began to destroy one another. And Israel's army didn't even have to fight. Praise and worship won the battle. And I believe, beloved, you and I, in this life, we just need to be praising the Lord. You know, it took them 3 days. In verse 25, it says, "And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil." It was so much. The armies of Israel destroyed each other. And now all these dead bodies are out there. And Israel is out there gaining the spoils, and it took them 3 days. I just tell you, I get encouraged when I read this account. I read the prayer of Jehoshaphat and know that I can pray the same prayer. You all can pray the same prayer. You're praying to the same God King Jehoshaphat was praying to. Are y'all with me? Are we staying connected tonight? See, beloved, this is our God. I like that song. He's just the same today. Our God is not getting old. He's not going to sleep. He's not getting senile. He is just the same today as he was in olden times. And he'll be the same tomorrow. I tell you, I love that. We have hope always in God. I want to turn with you just now. This passage came to me this evening as I was, I know some of y'all that were at Oak Grove this morning thought, well, he's just going to preach the same sermon. Well, probably some of you might need it again. I do. I benefited from reviewing the prayer. But I want to come now as I was meditating on the prayer this afternoon. I want to notice with you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Paul is telling us how to dress for our warfare. And he tells us, for an helmet, put on what? The hope of salvation. I want to say this evening, if you have the hope of salvation. Now, I know we have people, friends of ours, who will make fun of us when we say that we have a hope of going to heaven. They think you got to know. I appreciate what my brother Franklin told a fellow one time. They were in discussion with it. And Franklin told him he had a hope of going to heaven. And the man said, well, you got to know. You got to know that you know that you know. And Franklin needed to leave. And he said, well, I know, I hope I'm saved. Now, the world out here says you got to know that you know that you know. You know how they can know that they know? Because something they did. They made a decision. They got baptized. It's not because of what God did, it's what they did. Our hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. And if you've got that hope tonight, let me tell you, it's the hope of salvation. And it's a helmet that you can wear on a regular basis. And it'll save you from the attacks of the enemy. Let me tell you, as long as I have a hope of going to heaven when I die, everything else is pretty simple. Would y'all agree? My life here is brief anyway. And, you know, it's but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But heaven is eternal. And I've got a hope of going there. It's a helmet that protects my mind. And Satan loves to get God's children down and out and doubting their salvation. And that's what Calvinism is about. It's always trying to cause you to doubt your salvation by looking at what you do and don't do, rather than looking to the cross and what Jesus did. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's sing that tonight. I'll go ahead and make a selection. You say, Brother Sam, that's all right, but you know, we live in such a broken, messed up world, drive-by shootings, cancer, all of those things. How can we really be cheerful and hopeful? I want to turn with you tonight to a passage that also came to my mind this evening. It's found in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 25. These are the words of Jesus. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be what? Shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, you're going to be worried and sick, afraid it's all over? No, notice what the text says. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. I tell you, beloved, when the outlook gets bad, try the uplook. Are y'all with me? You say, Brother Sam, you just up there tonight talking to a bunch of people that's dealing with all kind of problems, and we're just so troubled and burdened. But I'm here to tell you tonight that you can overcome your fears, your anxieties, your worries, as you praise the Lord and begin to look up. You know, just looking up physically, bodily, kind of helps. It does. Then lift up your eyes to the God of heaven and earth, and you'll find great help in Him in this life. You know, there's one of the Psalms that I came across today looking at the concordance. In the book of Psalms, David said in chapter 5, I want to turn to that just a moment. Chapter 5, he would say in verse 3, he would say, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. And it's not a voice of murmuring. It's not a voice of complaining. Yesterday, Brother Alec was sharing with somebody about how complaining and murmuring caused God's judgment to fall on Israel. Y'all remember that? Did you know that more of the Israelites in the wilderness died as a judgment of God from their murmuring than from their adultery? God had favored this people richly. He had brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage and slavery. He had brought them under the blood of the Passover lamb and spared them the death of their firstborn. And God had brought them through the Red Sea, just backed the waters up on either side like jello, and they went through dry shod. God did that. And then what did God do? He destroyed their enemy. Pharaoh and his army was drowned in the Red Sea. And then God takes them out there in the wilderness. And if they had followed Him, it would have been an 11-day journey from the Red Sea to the River Jordan to a land flowing with milk and honey. But while they were out there, God rained down bread from heaven. He gave them water from a rock. I tell you, God was good to Israel. For 400 years and longer, they had been slaves in Egypt. Now they are pilgrims out there in the desert, and soon they could have been landowners in the promised land. Y'all know what the promised land was? It was a land flowing with milk and honey. There wasn't just a little bit of honey here and a little bit of milk over there. The land was flowing with milk and honey. They were going to eat from vineyards they didn't plant, live in houses they didn't build, and drink from wells they didn't dig. I'm telling you, from being slaves to pilgrims to landowners in 11 days, wouldn't that have been something? But out there in the wilderness, all they could do was murmur. All they could do was complain. Rather than praising God like Jehoshaphat's people were, they were just complaining. How many? I want to tell you, some people I think must think that complaining is their gift, their spiritual gift. Well, I want to tell you, it's not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's a work of the flesh. Now, you look at America today. Look at our founding fathers. When our pilgrim fathers came to this land, they found a wilderness. But I believe God's divine providence was overshadowing them, and they came and they built out of a wilderness the greatest nation on the face of this earth. And I don't say that with pride tonight, because I say it because God has blessed America. It's not because of all of our ingenuity and our brilliance. God's favor has been on this country. From the revolution, the Revolutionary War, there was no way we could have won that war had God not favored George Washington's little ragtag army. They were facing Britain's army, the greatest military on earth. How do you think they won that war? George Washington knew, you know, he had serious penalties for any soldier in his army that cursed. I mean, there was serious chastisement for any soldier in the Continental Army that would use profanity. I tell you, soldiers today would have a rough time, wouldn't they? Washington did not want to offend the God of heaven. He wanted God's favor. And so God won the revolution for us. And then he gave our founding fathers the wisdom to write the Constitution. Never been a constitution like the United States Constitution. It's brilliant. God, they fixed it so that we get a chance to change our legislators every 2 years. Isn't that wisdom? And I sure hope we can change some this year. Can I get anybody agreeing with me? We sure do need to clean house, don't we? Our founding fathers designed that Constitution with brilliance. I mean, listen, that had to be, you know, I've told you all this before, but when they met in Philadelphia to write the Constitution, they couldn't agree. 13 colonies represented, each one wanting his colony to be favored above the others. And so Benjamin Franklin got up and said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If a sparrow cannot fall from heaven without his notice, surely we cannot build a nation without his favor." And he called on all of them to start praying to God. And Franklin was not a well-known Christian, but he had enough wisdom to know without God's favor, our labors are in vain. Look how God has blessed America. He brought us through World War I and World War II. I want to tell you, we have enemies in the world today that would annihilate us. Where's your faith? Now, I thank God for our military, but I want to tell you, without God, our military cannot take care of us. And has America forgotten God? Yes. And we murmur and we complain, just like Israel did in the wilderness. I'd like for everybody in this house tonight to leave here determined to stop complaining. Stop murmuring about the weather, about inflation. See, all of that doesn't help. I tell you what'll help: prayer. Praying to God. And let's see if we, you know, there's just a few of us, but you know what? 10 righteous people could have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you and I would get our hearts right and get our eyes lifted up to heaven and praying to the God of heaven and earth, I just really believe, beloved, that a few righteous people in this country could cause God to favor America and raise up leaders to rule over us. I tell you, if you are a parent today with young children, you need to know what is being taught in the classroom. I'm telling you, it's unreal what is being introduced in kindergarten, first, second, and third grade. It's alarming. They ought to be teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. And they're talking about gender identity. I want to tell you, the Bible makes it very clear there's only two genders, male and female. And there isn't any more. And you can tell the gender the day they're born. You know the best way to tell if it's going to be a boy or girl? Wait till the day they're born. That settles it. But not in our crazy world. I want to tell you, God may be turning us over to insanity. And you and I need to be praying. Let's pray right now. Our Father in glory, there's a few of us here tonight, and we love you, we believe in you, we trust in you, we love our country, and we know that we have been guilty of complaining and murmuring about the weather and inflation and everything else. But Father, we have so much to praise you for. If we didn't live another meal on this earth, if we have a Savior who loved us and died for us, and He's coming back to get us and take us to heaven, we just got enough to praise you for forever. We hope we can do that in glory like we ought to, but help us down here, dear Lord. I'm begging you tonight to please help us to love you and praise you and thank you. Please, Father, deliver us from the attitude of the devil and the flesh and the world, and help us to lift up our eyes and see that you're on the throne of heaven and earth. We thank you for loving us, for giving your Son to die. We thank you for this great country that you have favored all of these years. And we would love, dear Father, that this country could be preserved for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. We know you could do it, but we know we are ripe for judgment. We are begging for mercy upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.